It is good to see each and every one of you as we are together to study the Word of God together and continue our study from the book of James. I asked you last week, and it'll be a continuing request, that as we go through the book of James, that you read the book as many times as you can in between each class. There's no way that we're going to learn any book of the Bible if we don't spend time reading that book. There's just no way to learn it. There's no shortcuts. And so I encourage it as many times as you can to read the book of James in between every class and be as familiar with it as you possibly can. When you're studying a book of the Bible, we've talked about this a couple of times, but the first thing you want to do is just read the book. Don't worry about looking up words, and don't worry about reoccurring words and phrases and the divisions in the book or even trying to outline the book. Just spend time reading the book. Do that a couple or three times, and then when you go back to read the book again, then start trying to pay attention to words that pop up over and over and phrases, and look those unfamiliar words up. Or if you look at a word and you say, well, I know what that is, don't always assume you know what the word is. Look it up. And then you may find that the Bible uses it in a way that we don't use it today. So we are in James, the book of James, continue our study on this short but packed full of information book. And we're in chapter 1. I told you last week I'm going to have to pick up the pace, or we'll never get through the book of James in 13 weeks. We don't have 13 weeks left anymore. And so we've kind of got to pick up the pace, and I think we'll gain some time as we go through it. Last Wednesday, I think I ended talking with you about six reasons money is vain from Ecclesiastes chapter 5. You recall that I told you really the key verse to the book of James is James chapter 1 verse 12. And we see as he's talking about temptation that he mentions in that verse, blessed is a man that what? Finish it out for me. It was your memory verse. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. Good. And the Bible over and over talks about dealing with temptation, our response in times of temptations and trials and various things that come upon us. But the book of James is making the point to these Christians, and obviously they were individuals who had fallen. James tells them, count it all joy when you fall. And it's interesting that word fall is a different word that you would find in Matthew chapter 13 with the parable of the sower. Some of the seed fell. That just kind of just means fall down. But this word in James chapter 1, fall, has the idea of falling into things which are all about us. And that's the point that he's making. When you fall into divers or manifold trials, temptations, that you count it joy. And so we spent time talking about that. The whole point really is when life is over, you can go home to be with the Lord and have that crown of life which God has promised to those that are faithful. If we will overcome, we can come over and live with God for all eternity in the blessed heaven of God. So we were in chapter 1. I talked with you about some things that are vain when it comes to wealth. And the reason being is because of the statement that is found in chapter 1, verse 10. He talked about in verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the brother that is the rich in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass, he shall pass away. It makes a good study when you think about things that the Bible likens life unto. Well, the brevity of life. What's the point that he's talking about? The rich in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass, he shall fall away. What's the point? Yeah, it's not going to last. Money isn't going to preserve. Life is not going to lengthen your days. We understand, yeah, if you have money, you can afford health care. But the point that he's making is life is brief. And just as the poor are going to die, the rich are also going to die. Give me one most common example of that in the New Testament. The rich man and Lazarus, a poor man and a rich man. Luke chapter 16. And so he likens that, and you've got to pay attention when the Bible uses the word as. People look over that word. What does that do? Makes a comparison. It's a simile. Like, as. It's contrasting things. It's making a comparison. Is it comparing the rich to the grass that will fall away? For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. The grass and all of its beauty, the flower and all of its beauty, is going to fade away. So shall the rich man fade away. Now watch this. In his ways. What's your thoughts on that phrase? He's going to fade away in his ways. That's all it says. Now, the next verse doesn't even go on to say anything about that phrase, but what's he talking about? He's going to fade away in his ways. Well, isn't the poor going to fade away in his ways?
My version says in his pursuits.
Okay. So, pursue, trying to chase the dollar, losing emphasis, losing direction in life, and there's so many things that vie for our attention. Folks, we're going to die. And the Lord would talk about the riches and so forth, and the deceitfulness of riches, and take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Luke 12 and in verse 15. And so then he says, after verse 11, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I want to make a point about temptation before we go on. I think we may have touched on this before, but when you think about with God's help we can endure, as a Christian, I don't have to worry about doing things by myself. I think I mentioned that to you on last Sunday. But me and the Lord make a majority against any number of people. Think about that. When the psalmist would state in Psalm 3, I laid me down and slept. I wait for the Lord to sustain me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Well, David had folks who were enemies who were in the pursuit of his life, and he said, I laid down basically in safety. The Lord kept me. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you, but what? But such is good for you. Such is common to man. What does that mean, but such as is common to man?
Nothing new.
Nothing new. And sometimes we think, well, I'm the only one that's ever went through this. Not so. Other people experience the things that we experience. Now, I think about Hebrews chapter 4 when it was talking about Jesus. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And then I think about James chapter 5 when it talks about, I know we touched on this because I remember us making the statement concerning it, a man of like passions as we are. Who was that? Elias in verse 17. After he talks about prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse 16, and he talks about Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed to God earnestly that it might not rain, and it didn't rain. He prayed again, and it rained. Point is that we don't have to worry about being alone. God will help us. But God is faithful. The latter part of 1 Corinthians 10:13, who will not allow or suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, and will with the temptations make a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear them. Look for the way of escape. God is with us. And if God be with us or for us, who can be against us, right? In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, let your conversation or your conduct, King James Version says, conversation, be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, what did he say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with us. If there's ever any leaving to be done, it's on our part and not our Father's part. 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9, I'll give you these and we'll move on. 1 Peter 4:19. All these, the fact that God is with us, faithful to us. 2 Timothy 4:14-18, when Paul talked about Alexander the coppersmith who did him much evil, and said in my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. But he says, the Lord didn't forsake me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and delivered me. And he says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, 2 Timothy 4, 14 through 18. In Acts chapter 20, we were in Acts chapter 20 last Sunday evening for the lesson. In Acts chapter 20, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And you read through the book of Acts, Acts 13 and following, and you look at the things that Paul suffered and that he referenced in his letters, his epistles, that he went through. And so, what's the point, preacher? The point is we can endure. We certainly have God's help. But then he said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive what? The crown of life. And the Bible often talks about the crown of life in James chapter 1, verse 12. In Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a what? A crown of life. And so at least in those two passages, James 1:12, Revelation 2:10, the Bible speaks about a crown of life. But the Bible also talks about, one and the same, the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 8, when Paul stated in verse 6 through 8, the time of my departure is at hand, I'm ready. He said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me when? We don't have it now. In that day. What day? Judgment day. And that day, also unto all them that love His appearing. And the Bible talks about a crown of glory that does not fade away. 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 4. Someone read that for us. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. In the context of this, he's talking to elders. Now, that fadeth not away. Riches meant perish with the using. You ever have anything that the more you use it, the worse off it is? I can relate to that. I'm sure you can too. You get a car and you invest in that. You're so pleased with it. But in a few years to come, it doesn't work like it did when you took it off the lot, does it? Things begin to break down. And not so with the crown of glory, which fadeth not away. Again, when are we going to receive that? When the chief shepherd shall appear. And then 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Talking about this incorruptible inheritance. It's incorruptible, undefiled, and that what? Yeah, it does not fade away. Reserved in heaven for you. So the Bible talks about often a crown of life, crown of righteousness, crown of glory that does not fade away. But then he says, in our key verse, first in James chapter 1, verse 12, which God hath promised to them that love Him. You know, God's made a lot of promises in the Bible. I did a series with you a few years back on standing on the promises of God. There's many of them. I can't recall right off how many that we talked about in that series, but it was more than one lesson. But God has promised. Well, what has God promised us? Crown of life, James chapter 1, verse 12. He's promised us eternal life, Titus chapter 1 and in verse 12, and hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, hath promised. So He's promised us eternal life, 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 25. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. He's promised us a crown of life, James chapter 2 and in verse 5. So I want to get that verse for us. James 2 and in verse 5.
Listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him?
And promised heirs of the kingdom to them that love Him. You can take one verse. And I just point this out because we're talking about not only learn the book of James, but also how do you study a book of the Bible. Sometimes folks say, well, I don't know what to study. Maybe preachers say, I don't know what to preach on. I assure you, pick a verse out and you'll find all kinds of things just in that verse many times to preach about. To him that overcometh, God hath promised a crown of life. Right? That endureth the temptation, God hath promised crown to them that love him. Let's take this next part. To them that love him. Oh, how I love Jesus, we sing many times. And you ask the vast majority of religious-minded folk, regardless of what they teach, practice, and so forth, do you love God? Oh, yes, I love God. And they may believe with all their heart that they love God. But many times our thinking about what it means to love God and to love Jesus is not in harmony. It's not in line with how the Bible presents love. I'll give you some passages about that that you're familiar with. James 14:15 says what? If, there's stipulation. Remember we talked one time about divine stipulations. Had a series on that. If you love me, that's right. Good job, Bernice. Keep my commandments. Some of all, I love Jesus. I love God. Well, are you keeping his commandments? Well, no. Well, then you don't love him as you should. I have no right to say that I love the Lord if the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and then I don't keep the commandments of the Lord. In Luke 6:46. Remember in Acts 2, as you're turning there, in Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you've crucified both what? Lord and Christ. He's reigning. He's Lord. He's reigning now. King of kings, Lord of lords, reign over his kingdom, the church. Revelation 17:14. Well, Jesus said in Luke 6:46, what? Yeah, think of that. Why call you, good job. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? If I want to say that I'm submitted to the Lord and to Jesus, King of kings, and he's the Lord of my life, he is ruling and reigning in my life, how important do you think it is that I pick up the divine word of God and find out just what he expects of me? You think that's important? Now, how in the world can I do or keep his commandments if I don't know what his commandments are? Well, I come to service on Sunday and I come on Wednesday and I'm attentive to what's being said. That's great. But you got to do your own investigating too. Because the preacher may not preach on everything that the preacher ought to preach on. Right? Maybe. You need to search the Scriptures. In 1 John chapter 5 and then verse 3. Someone once told me, you know, don't, you need to cut some things out. Don't go 15, 20 minutes. I can't even clear my throat in that time. Many times. 1 John chapter 5 and then verse 3. There is a lot of good advice to that, I know, but 1 John 5 and then verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we what? That we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. The King James Version says grievous. Right? You can do it. I know they're difficult, no doubt about that, but they're not impossible. Sometimes the truth is easily to ascertain, but sometimes it can be a difficult pill to swallow. Right? We know what it says. We know what the Lord wants of us, but sometimes it's hard to get the pill down. And the Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. We can do them. He hath promised to them that love him. But then I got to thinking about James chapter 1, verse 12. When, again, he says, blessed is the man. Did you run across that word anywhere else in the book of James? As I asked you to look for reoccurring words, where else might you have ran across that word?
Chapter 2, verse 1.
Well, In chapter 2, verse 1, Bernice, is that? You're talking about the word blessed, right? I've done it more than you, I'm sure. James chapter 1, verse 25. Okay, good. So, yeah, the word brother and brethren, good job, is a reoccurring word throughout the book of James. And by the way, he's talking to Christian people. We've talked about that. He's talking to people like me and you, just like me and you, who'd obeyed the gospel of Christ. But in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Verse 25, whoso looketh in a perfect law of liberty, continue therein, not being forgetful here, but a doer of the work. This man, what man? The man that looks into it and continues in it, not being forgetful, but a doer. This man shall be blessed in his deed. So I got thinking about blessed. But you know, we really are a blessed people. I mean, the Bible just says if we endure temptation, we're blessed. If we continue in it, we're blessed. Well, you know, the Bible many times over says who the blessed man is. Did you know that? We're not going to turn and read all these, but I want to give you a little list of them. You can jot them down. But I want you to consider, the Bible uses the word blessing, blessed, blessed, blesseth many, many times. But this is just times in which the Bible says that blessed is the man. Or an individual is blessed if they do A, B, C, X, Y, Z. For example, if you endure temptation, you know what James says about you? You're blessed. And someone says, well, I'm not blessed. Everybody has blessings, but I'm not blessed. I don't have anything to thank God for. Where's my blessings at? Well, listen. Blessed is a man that endures, James 1, verse 12. If you consistently meditate on God's Word, the psalmist declares that you are blessed. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth at the feet of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates in it day and night, Psalm 1, 1 and 2. I'm not going to read all these or quote them to you or look them up, but here they are. You're blessed if you trust the Lord. Psalm 2, verse 12. Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 40, verse 8. If you have the forgiveness of your sins, the Bible says you're blessed. Psalm 32, 1. If you obey the gospel, you're blessed. You have the forgiveness of your sins. If you consider the poor, the Bible says you're blessed. Psalm 41, verse 1. Consider the poor lately. Folks who are less fortunate than you are, that I am, that all of us are. If you dwell in God's house, you're blessed. Psalm 84, verse 11. The Old Testament, they had a temple. New Testament, the church is identified in 1 Peter 3:15 as being the house of God. If you are chastened by the Lord, you're blessed. Psalm 94, verse 12. If you keep God's judgments and you do righteousness, here's the kicker to that, all the time, the text says, you're blessed. Psalm 106, verse 30. If you fear God, the Bible identifies you as a blessed man in Psalm 112, verse 1, and Psalm 128, verses 1 and 4. If you are undefiled in the way, the Bible says that you are blessed, Psalm 119, verse 1. If you keep God's testimonies, you're blessed, Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the Lord said. If you have a contrite, humble disposition, you're blessed, Matthew 5:3. Meek, you're blessed, Matthew 5:5. If you hunger and you thirst for righteousness, you're blessed, Matthew 5:6. Matthew 5:7 says you're blessed if you're merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are they that are pure in heart. If you're pure in heart, you're blessed. The Lord said, Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the peacemakers. You try to make peace with folks, you're blessed, Matthew 5:9. Blessed are they that are persecuted. Blessed are ye when you are persecuted, men shall revile you and so forth, Matthew 5:10 and 11. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me, Luke 7:23. You're not ashamed of Jesus, you're not offended at his word, you're blessed. You're blessed if you hear and keep God's word, Luke 11:28. Blessed is he that watches. Luke 12:37, are you vigilant? I like this one. I like all of them. But the Lord said that we're blessed though we haven't seen him if we believe. John 20:29, you see and believe, but blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. James 1:25, blessed is the one that is a doer of the word. In Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, they that hear and keep the words of the testimony of this book. The context, the book of Revelation, the principle applies to all the Word of God. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. When it comes your time, my time, to depart this earthly pilgrimage, if we die in the Lord, we're blessed. Blessed are they that keep the words of this prophecy, Revelation 22:7. Keep the saying of the book. Then in Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, so they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city. Don't ever say, I'm not blessed if you're a Christian. Think about that. The Bible says many more. I've not given you just a few of them. 27 to write down. In which the Bible identifies a man as a blessed man. Preacher, I don't have anything to study about or to preach about. That just comes from the word blessed. Starting with James 1 and then verse 12. We've run out of time. We don't have time to talk about. Don't point the finger at God. Too many times people today say, why did God do this? God gets blamed for a lot of things of which is not His fault. And we're going to start there in verse 13. Let no man say. Now he's talked about temptation in the first part of the chapter, the opening verses of the chapter. Then he says in verse 12, you endure the temptations, you're blessed, you'll get a crown of life. And then he says, let no man say, when you fall into diverse temptations, and you have temptations he's been talking about, don't blame God. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither what? Neither, good job, Marilyn, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted. And he's going to qualify that when he's what? Good job, Rose. And we'll stop there and pick up next week. I really do appreciate your undivided attention.